He says, I became a minister. How did that happen? How did Paul become a minister? Well, it's crucial because there are so many self-proclaimed ministers in ministries, so-called in the body of Christ, and there are very few who are truly, I believe, gifted and called by God to do it. And I believe there's a few that are disobedient, that aren't doing it.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Well, today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, during this time in which we usually read comments from our listeners via letter or email or phone message, I'd just like to share how thankful we are for how the Lord has provided for this ministry through those who have partnered with us in getting out his life-changing word. We are so thankful to the Lord for your gracious and faithful support and prayers for this ministry. And I'd just like to encourage anyone listening, if you are blessed by Equipping the Saints, if God is using his word to build you up, would you tell someone else? Would you let them know about the broadcast? And would you pray about please giving a donation or becoming a partner with this ministry, committing to an ongoing support of this ministry? It would be so appreciated. You see, we cannot continue in your local area, and there are many stations that are, quite frankly, on the edge. If we don't receive donations in those areas, we're not going to be able to continue. So with that in mind, just pray if God would have you give to support the ministry of Equipping the Saints. We will be so thankful if you do.
Greg, there are a lot of Christian ministries. So how can we know which ones are biblical? And more importantly, how can we know if the ministries we serve in and support are biblical?
Well, Dave, that's a great question. And the answer is found in the Word of God. So with that in mind, we begin a series today that you're not going to want to miss. And this series will answer over the next couple of weeks, what does authentic ministry truly look like? Well, let's begin. Turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 24 and 25.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from this series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Well, there are a lot of ministries out there. If you do a search on the internet for ministries, you're going to get like 340 million, something like that. And then if you put church ministries, because there are, you know, worldly ministries, church ministries, you get almost 90 million responses. There are a lot of ministries out there. And within those ministries, there are parachurch ministries, church ministries, missionary ministries, TV ministries, radio ministries. And some of them are obviously man-centered, but yet some of them are pretty good. Yet my question would be, are they biblical? Now, it's my view that the current evangelical church has lost sight of what authentic, true ministry is, and that many a false teacher, false brethren, false teaching has crept in unnoticed. Well, we're starting to see it now into these ministries. Yet I praise God that we've not been left in the dark concerning what ministry should look like. And at the core of ministry is what we would call the minister. Now today we're going to begin a look at what true ministry looks like. So turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Now we know the Apostle Paul is addressing the Colossians. He has not seen them. He has heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love. He's heard that from Epaphras, yet he's also heard that there were threats, that there were those trying to delude them with persuasive arguments, that there were those trying to take them spiritually captive, to pull them away from Christ onto religious stuff, stuff such as you can't do this, this, and this if you want to follow Christ. You've got to follow these rules, or we've got to treat yourself really badly, or you need the help of visions and angels, whatever it might be, these different things to help you in your walk with Christ. But Paul would say in the end of chapter 2, these things are of no value against fleshly indulgence. You see, our problem is this. This is my problem. I still am in this flesh. I've been redeemed. My soul has been saved. But yet I'm still in this body of death. It's not glorified yet. My inside, I've been redeemed, but my flesh has not been redeemed yet. And I am tempted from within. And I'm tempted from without. And I'm tempted from Satan. And these false teachers will come along and give you a system to follow Jesus rather than recognizing the sufficiency of a right relationship with Him and the sufficiency of our Savior Jesus Christ, the simplicity of a devotion to Him. And so in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul has addressed these threats dead on. He has started by sharing a focus on the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. Through Him and from Him came all things. And He did all things for Himself. He is the Lord of the first creation. But He is also the beginning and start and the one who brought about His second creation, the church. He is the Lord of the church. He is the head of the church. And within that, we know that our great God brought about redemption for us. He brought about reconciliation, that we would be presented holy and blameless beyond reproach. Tremendous reality. We're going to be presented holy and blameless beyond reproach. He's going to finish the job that He has begun. But yet we are in these bodies, and right now we are in a time in which we are ministering. We are in church, and we are ministering, and we have ministers. And so how do we know if that ministry is biblical? Well, for the rest of chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul is going to share his credentials, in a sense, as a minister. He's going to reveal what true ministry looks like and what the focus of ministry is, which is Christ, and how we are to minister. And then he's going to transition to chapter 2 to hit dead on the false teachers. So he's going to share first and foremost what it should look like by his example, and he's going to address the false teachers. And so we enter into that portion now, which brings us through the end of the book. So again, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 24 and 25 today. But I want to read through all the way to the end because it is all together. Because as I mentioned, we're going to see three specific things in this chapter to the end, but we're going to look at one very specifically today. Colossians 1:24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions." You go, wait a second, that's confusing. Well, we'll look at that, don't worry. And we'll hopefully have an understanding of that. "Of this church I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God." And we'll barely get to that part, and that part we'll emphasize that next time also. But I want to keep reading. "That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations and now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, that's the solution, glory in Christ, right? Where he's taken us. That's the solution, focusing on Jesus, as we'll see. "And we proclaim," who? We proclaim him. That's Christ Jesus. "Admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me." We're going to see what true, genuine ministry is like. Like I said, we are not left in the dark. These churches act as though they have a different script they're going by. They're going by a whole different paradigm of how they run ministry when we have the truth of God. And so you might say, well, I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor. I'm not that. I'm never going to be that. Well, I understand that. But we need to see this and understand so that we don't get taken captive by the bad guys, so we can spot the good guys and make sure we're in biblical churches and biblical ministries and supporting those as such. So with this in mind, I believe we're going to see through the end of the chapter three things, and we'll look at the first one today, but three things. First of all, that authentic ministry or true ministry, genuine ministry, you could say it that way, has God's men ministering. First thing. Secondly, authentic ministry preaches God's message. And third, authentic ministry uses God's method. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? We can stop there. The reality is God has laid it forth for us. And so today we're going to take a look at God's ministers, Paul being the example. We're going to see that authentic ministry has God's men ministering. Now, I want to back up a little bit from our reading again. You might remember last week I didn't finish the very last phrase of verse 23. And we're going to look at that today because it goes into what we'll see today. Look back up to verse 22. Yet he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, not moved from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. That means, hey, you're really a true believer, okay? The gospel which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And here we go. This is where we left off. And of which I, Paul, was made a minister. And then look, he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Verse 25, of this church I was made a minister. This is really important because we're going to see how one becomes a minister, okay? How it is. Now, as we look at this, we have the end of 23, of which, speaking of the gospel, I, Paul, was made a minister. Then verse 25, of this church I was made a minister. Now, in a moment, we'll get to the content of verse 24, okay? We'll get to that. Don't worry. But I want to point out this first phrase, and we're going to make some global observations of our passage first, two of them, and then get into the specifics in verses 24 and 25. So this is really important. Twice the phrase, I was made a minister. Now, I want to point out that this is in contrast, I believe, to the false guys that were trying to take them captive. I believe it's going to be a contrast between what we'll see in chapter 2. Now, I need to point out, I prefer at this point the New King James translation in verses 23 and 25 where they say, I became a minister. I became a minister rather than I was made a minister. Now, we're going to see the NASB translates it that way because they're trying to support other scriptures which talk about being appointed, being made in a sense, okay? But it literally is, you'll see in your notes in the NASB, they put literally became or become. They'll put that in there. So what Paul is saying here, and this word become in Greek is translated ginomai, that's the Greek word, it speaks of becoming or coming into existence. Paul's saying, I came into existence as a minister in some manner, in some fashion. How did this happen? We need to know that because we have a lot of people who think they're just going to go ahead and go out and be a pastor, be whatever it might be a minister. I want to start a ministry. I want to do this and that. But we need to look at Paul's example. Another thing I want to point out here, which is really interesting, is that the word minister, you know, if we take that by itself, you know, we understand that, right? Sally ministered to her grandmother. We understand. It kind of seems like the serving, right? Ministering. But when we get to church, we start to think of flowing robes and the minister who is untouchable. You know, the guy up front, all this stuff, right? Think of the minister, you know, it kind of elevates this person out of reach in a sense. But here, the word translated minister is simply diakonos. It means servant. It's the same word translated deacon. It means servant. The minister is simply a servant. A servant. Now, we are all servants, but the minister is a servant of Christ on behalf of the church to bring forth the word of God. Okay, that's what we're going to say. It's a servant. That's the service of ministry, as we're going to say. So with that in mind, a minister is a servant. And now we are all servants in the body of Christ, but there are different giftings and different ministries or servings. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about differing ministries and gifts. Those same words, servants. There are different ministries. So Paul is going to speak here of this ministry of those who proclaim and bring forth the word of God. That's what he's going to talk about. And so if you want to think of ministry or ministers, we can recognize what they are those who are servants bringing forth, like a servant would bring you a meal, bringing forth the word of God, serving you, serving the Lord. You see? That's what ministry means. It means serving. So we have these ministries out there. You have ministries like RC Airplane Ministry. Wait a second. I like RC airplanes, but that's not a ministry. They're not serving people the word of God. They're not doing that. What they're doing is having fun with RC airplanes. That's great. Go do that. If believers want to get together, do that. That's great, but it's not a ministry. You can have some fellowship in that, but you're not serving in that, right? We're going to see. We serve within the giftings that God has given us. Well, at this point, I think it's crucial to understand how Paul became a minister. He says, I became a minister. How did that happen? How did Paul become a minister? How did he become a servant? Well, it's crucial because there are so many self-proclaimed ministers and ministries, so-called in the body of Christ, and there are very few who are truly, I believe, gifted and called by God to do it. And I believe there's a few that are disobedient, that aren't doing it. Well, the answer is crucial here. Indeed, some people see ministry as a choice. I'm going to be a pastor, or I could be a truck driver, or I could be a seminary professor or a preacher. People choose then to study as if they would in a career and step forward in that. But I posit to you, unless God has drawn them, called them, and gifted them to serve as a pastor, preacher, or teacher, they are not truly ministers. Okay? They're ministering on their own terms, and that's why churches are so messed up. You got rebel ministers all throughout churches these days. And since they're ministering on their own terms, they minister their own way, whatever works. So how was Paul called to ministry? Did he decide one day it would be great to be a pastor, I need to go get training? Did he decide, I'm going to be a minister, I'm going to become a minister? Paul's walking, I'm going to become a minister, let me go get trained for that. Well, how did it happen? Well, let's take a look. Acts 26, we see how Paul became a minister. He got saved. He got saved and God called him very specifically to it. And he made him minister. Paul didn't make himself minister. Paul was out killing Christians or raising his hand to it. He was chasing them around. He was doing very evil things towards the body of Christ. Acts 26. Now, I'm not going to read the whole portion here because you can read it from verse 1. But Paul is before Agrippa. He's giving his testimony. I'm going to go down to verse 11. He's already talked about punishing, you know, and addressing Christians, running after them. Verse 11, and I punished them often in the synagogues. I tried to force them to blaspheme, and being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. Well, he was preparing for ministry, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. He was against Christ. While thus engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice say to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now notice, Jesus is going to call him. He's going to save him and call him. But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you to what? To appoint you a minister. I've saved you to appoint you a minister. Jesus is appointing a minister. Paul didn't make the decision. Saul didn't decide, I'm going to be a minister. He was on his way, putting his hand up for the death of Christians, persecuting them, and Jesus intervened and saved him. And he says, I've appeared to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Jesus is telling him where he's going. God's word tells us how we're to minister. Jesus is telling him very specifically. We don't have a choice to disobey that. To open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. This is how Paul became a minister. That's how he became a minister. He got saved, and God called him specifically unto that. Specifically. Now, we see Paul's entrance obviously was a sovereign choice of God, not of Paul's. Now, obviously, when we get saved, God gives us desires in which the gifting we have. And sometimes we can feel as though we're choosing it, but really, God gave us that desire and we're going that direction, okay? We understand that. I'm going to parse words here. But we see the question really is whether we're going to obey the Lord or not in how he's gifted us. We're going to see that everyone's been given spiritual gifts. There are some who have been gifted as ministers. There are some who have been gifted as teachers and preachers. And the question is not, did you choose to do it? The question is, will you obey the Lord? Will you obey the Lord? Now, we'll talk about the idea of compulsion and willingness later in a minute. So, God, by his Spirit, appoints people in positions that he desires, and he gifts them for such. God does that. Isn't this what Paul said multiple times? Let me share some passages. He says here, 1 Corinthians 2:28, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers." God appointed it. God gave that gifting. 1 Timothy 2:7, this is what Paul tells Timothy. "And for this reason, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." He knew he was appointed. God appointed him to do it. 2 Timothy 1:10. This is speaking of Christ who gave himself a ransom and that now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, 2 Timothy 1:10, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed, Paul says, a preacher and an apostle teacher. Now, I believe these terms being appointed or made, in a sense, is why the NASB translated it made. But back in our passage, it's became. I became a minister. I came into existence, in a sense, as a minister. And that happened, we know, when Paul was saved. You see, we see in 1 Corinthians 12 that God, by his Spirit, gives different giftings according to his will, not ours. Same thing in the human sphere. When we were born, we didn't say, Lord, I'd really like to be a really good piano player. Can you give me that skill? Oh, I'd really like to be good at computers. Can you do that? Oh, I'd like to be good mechanically speaking. God did without our say-so. He made every human being have different skills and abilities. And with the body of Christ, when we were born again, we were given spiritual gifts, but we don't tell him what we want. He tells us through his word what he has done. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now, Paul is correcting the Corinthians who are all messed up. They're actually getting into idolatry with spiritual gifts. He reproves them. He says, hey, you know, before you were saved, you were led, but you were led by dumb idols. He talks about that, you know, stuff like that. And then he goes on to reprove them. Now, his reproving them is basically saying what you think is spiritual isn't spiritual because it's all mixed up and divided up. Here's the reality. 1 Corinthians 12:4. "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries," that's our word, servings, "a variety of servings, and the same Lord. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Remember that. "For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another effecting miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits."
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you made an extremely important point from the Apostle Paul's example that God, apart from our input, appoints people in the positions that he desires, and he gifts them as such.
Yes, Dave, and this is so important. You see, when we think of biblical ministry, we need to understand that biblical ministry consists of those who have been called to minister by God
and know it, and then are obedient to that calling. You see, authentic ministers understand who made them as servants, and it is the Lord God Himself.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.